really an honor to be here. Just got a flavor a little bit. I actually had to leave right after Shabbos, but of the wonderful work that goes on in Samchenu, and it's just a privilege to be even slightly a part of it and to help in any way possible. Elul is a very special time. It's a time that sometimes fills us with a little bit of fear. It's getting a little bit too close. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Whether we're nervous, concerned, or even almost oblivious, we all wish we'd be sitting in the sukkah already and it should be over. I think that's a fair statement of most of our feelings. You know, the world being judged, Rosh Hashanah, then Yom Kippur, tshuva, it's heavy stuff. It's heavy stuff. And if we could just, you know, be past it already, it would be nice. It would be it'd be much more comfortable. But it comes back again next year anyway, and we have to face it. And I would like to address this season and this month and this experience from maybe what may appear as a unique perspective. And I think that that perspective is something that can help us not only at this time of year, but throughout the journey through life in general. In Perek Lamed Gimel, in Tehillim, Ranenu Tzadikim, we say it on Shabbos morning, if not people who say Tehillim other times. And we find the Pasuk that the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah tells us refers to Hashem judging the world Biskira Achas on Rosh Hashanah. Hayoitzer Yachad Libom Hamevin El Kol Maasehim. Hashem looks at the whole world together and he understands each and every individual person's heart, what's going on with him or her. And then it continues, Ein HaMelech Noisha Barov Choyil, Gibor Lo Yinotza Barov Koyach. The king and his armies are not going to have any influence. The strong man with the power that he has, his might, that doesn't do anything. And then David HaMelech tells us the secret of our true power. And he says something very interesting. Hinei ein Hashem el yireyov lam yachalim lechastoy. And the Chofetz Chaim, and I believe the Radak learns that way too, puts a comma in the posuk in a very interesting place. And he says as follows. Ein Hashem el yireyov. Hashem looks favorably on those that fear him. The God-fearing people. He looks favorably on them because they are doing that which they're supposed to be doing in life. Then he puts a comma and he says, Lam yachalim lechastoy, and to those who await his kindness. And he says, it doesn't say, Hamni yachalim lechastoy, that we're talking about the people who fear him, who await for his kindness. No, we're talking about two groups of people, the Yirei Hashem, the people that fear Hashem, and the miyachalim lachastoy, and those who await his kindness, even though they are not Yirei Hashem. They're not God-fearing people, but they're waiting for Hashem's kindness. And the apostle continues and says, Lahatzil mimoves nafshom lachayosom barov. He sustains them. He takes care of their needs. He takes care of both of these groups in the same way. And the lesson here is very, very unique, and I believe very profound. Even if we feel that we don't shape up as the Yirei Hashem that we would like to be. You know, after everything is said and done, I look at myself, I compare myself to the previous generation, and then to the previous generation, and then to the tzaddikim of even the previous generation. I say, oh yeah, I don't measure up. Yirei Hashem, Yirei Shemayim. Svelte Epis, Svelte Epis, Svelte Sach. It's very difficult. I don't have it. I don't have it. It's not there. What am I going to do? How am I going to stand in judgment? How am I going to face the Yom HaDin on Rosh Hashanah? Hayotzer Yachad Libom. He judges the whole world b'skira achas. The Pasuk tells us, the Chofetz Chaim points out, a secret. Hashem also looks favorably l'miyachalim l'chastoy. Those people that say, my Yirah Shemayim doesn't measure up. I'm not what my mother was, or what my grandmother was, or what my great-grandmother was. I'm not what I should be. Maybe I'm not even what I can be. But I'm awaiting His kindness. I'm just waiting for Hashem's chesed. L'miyachalim, I'm hoping. And I consistently and continuously, and I refuse to give up hope, awaiting for Hashem's chesed. And Hashem says, I take care of you too. The one who is capable of putting his or her trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of awaiting and hoping and refusing to give up hope under difficult circumstances, under trying circumstances, under circumstances that make me feel I'm not worthy. What am I going to do? If I'm not worthy, then what could be? No, but I'm waiting for that chesed. But I know Hashem's chesed. I have that relationship with Him. I know of His kindness. I know of His mercy. I know of His good that He does in this world. I know of His hashkocha protis. I know how He takes care of each and every individual. Individually. Each one by one. Biskira achas, He judges the whole world. Hamevin el kol maaseyem. But He knows each one individually. And that hope that I have, and that trust that I have, is a formula for achieving in life far beyond what I deserve. I want to ask you a question. Did you ever meet anyone who only wants in this world what they deserve? Nothing more. I never did. And if you did, that must be some super tzaddikus, that super tzaddik, someone who's beyond anything that we understand. Everybody wants more than they deserve. If I have to rely on what I deserve, I might as well quit. There's no point. We want more. There is a formula. And that formula, the Pasuk teaches, and David HaMelech repeats it again and again, time and again, throughout the Sefer Tehillim, is I trust Hashem. I'm counting on Him. I'm relying on Him. I know He's not going to let me down. And there is such a koyach that helps us in two major ways, in two maybe of the most important ways in life. Number one, it's a schus to achieve even beyond what we may have earned or deserved, and to achieve it legitimately, and to achieve it without embarrassment, and to achieve it as a factor of our close relationship and reliance and love and connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it provides such a menuchas ha-nefesh, such a peace of mind, such tranquility. The Ribbono Shel Olam is taking care of everything. Hashem li lo yiro ma yaseh li odom. He's taking care of it. If He takes care of me, I have nothing to worry about. And I trust and I rely and I count on Him. It provides me with a peace of mind that I can't possibly achieve any other way. No matter how much power, no matter how much influence, no matter how much money, no matter anything that I may have, any access or capabilities that I may have, ultimately I can't achieve that ultimate menuchas ha-nefesh unless I can rely on Him. And when I rely on Him, I've generated a schus to achieve amazing things, and I have also developed, I found a formula for a life with menuchas ha-nefesh. I'd like to share with you a story. It's painful, but it's relevant. Many years ago, I heard that a childhood friend was married with a family. His wife had taken sick. And she was Very serious. Very, very serious. And in a desire to try to help, strengthen, inspire, and maybe even share with him a formula to help resolve the problem, to be a schus for a refuah shleima, I had just recently written a little pamphlet on bitochen. And I shared it with him about trusting Hashem, about how to realize that everything is in the hands of Hashem, that Hashem is kind and loving and caring, and even when he seems behest upon him, hidden in this world, and we can't seem to see from where he is operating, he's still mashkiach min ha'chalonos. He watches through the windows, maybe those one-way windows that he could see and we can't see him. He's meitzitz min ha'charakim. He peeks through the cracks where he can see everything that's going on and we can't see him. He's hidden, but he's there and he's with us. And he deals with everything in our lives. And he's good. He's kind and he's merciful. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in our lives. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to the degree that we connect with him, to the degree that we put our hope in him, to the degree that we refuse to give up that connection and that hope, and to the degree that we may rise to the level of trusting him that everything he does is for the good and he takes care of everything and I can rely on him for past, present, and future. Anyway, they took this little booklet and they were very taken by it. They actually reprinted it and gave it out to a whole Biker Cholim in, I think it was in Baltimore, I don't know. Very excited. And Baruch Hashem, we heard the news that she went into remission and Baruch Hashem, Hoidu Hashem Kitoiv, it was a wonderful, wonderful feeling. Fast forward a few years, and I hear that she got sick again and she passed away. And I was afraid to go to be Menachem Oval. I felt that if I came, they would look at me as the false prophet of hope, having given them this inspiration, having shared with them this bitochen, having inspired them to have a greater connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then disappointing, such a disappointing situation that, such a tragedy. The last day of the Shiva, I had no choice. It was an old friend from way back, I had to go. And as I walk in, the family is sitting there, and they say, "Where have you been? We've been waiting for you." So I think I mumbled under my breath, "You're waiting to throw stones at me? Like, what were you waiting for me?" And they said, "No, no, we wanted to thank you." So I said, "Thank me? What are you talking about?" And they said something so profound. And they said as follows. The chizuk in bitochin that your works and talk and book, whatever it was, gave us, that strengthening in that ability to connect with Hashem, to appreciate Hashem, to recognize Hashem's chesed, to count on him, to refuse to give up hope, to rely on him to help us in every way possible, that relationship that we developed with Hashem gave us the strength to cope with this tragedy. It's because we so recognized how much chesed Hashem does in this world. It's because we worked so hard to connect with him and to inspire ourselves and to find the strength to put our confidence in him and our reliance on him and our appreciation on him and our love of him and our realization that even under trying circumstances, he is there for us. That gave us the strength. That even though we are disappointed, and even though eventually our hope was not responded to the way we had hoped and the way we had wanted and the way we had anticipated, but we felt so much closer to Hashem, so much more connected to Hashem, that now has become our source of strength in life. And I think that we have to think at these times in terms of connecting and reconnecting with Hashem. You know, forgive me, but there's this very special invention that has come out of Eretz Yisrael recently, a few years ago. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's called Waze. Very interesting. I don't know how anybody could go any place without Waze. Waze is an amazing piece of technology. Waze knows where I am, where I want to go, everything that's going to happen along the way and where I should change route and go here, and there's an accident here, there's a police car here, and there's a pothole here, and there's this and that and the other thing, and you made a wrong turn, and now you got to go back in this. It's going to tell me exactly when I'm going to get there and every obstacle and interference along the way. And I thought to myself, this is an amazing dugma. This is an amazing moshul. This is an amazing example of Hashem's hashkocha protis in this world. Sometimes the Chofetz Chaim used to say that modern technology is to strengthen our emunah, because sometimes it's hard to imagine that Hashem knows everything, controls everything. He knows exactly where I am. He knows exactly where I have to go. He knows exactly which obstacles I'm going to face, and he knows exactly which obstacles to give me. And he is full, not the ways is not, but he is full of chesed and rachamim. His love for each and every member of Klal Yisrael is infinite. And he does everything he does. He's involved in every aspect of my life. Now, sometimes it's very difficult to understand what he's doing. He confuses us. He definitely confuses us. And sometimes we think we have questions. Why? What? What are you doing? What's going on over here? The truth of the matter is, all questions to Hashem are not intellectual questions. It's about as intellectual as the question that I would ask Albert Einstein on his theory of relativity. I have no clue. I don't know what relativity is. I don't even know what a theory is. I don't know what we're talking about. I don't even know who Einstein was. And that's not a rational question. But this is emotional. It hurts. It's too vague. Life sometimes deals us situations which are painful. And in the pain, sometimes we begin to question why, what, what's going on. And the reality is that those are not intellectual questions. I think to myself that if Hashem came down and explained to me why he does what he does, I wouldn't know what he's talking about. I wouldn't understand it. It's beyond my comprehension. The questions are emotional. It's painful. We do have pain in this world. We have a lot of pain in this world. Life situations are not always so simple, so sweet, so smooth. But if we know that Hashem knows exactly what he's doing, and Hashem is molei chesed v'rachamim, intellectually, we can't get it. We probably never will. But we have to know that. We can expect to. But we could know his chesed. We could know his kindness. And even when he seems to deal us something that seems so difficult to come to grips with and to maintain that caring, loving, close, connected, trusting relationship with him because of what he has done. And yes, he has done. There are no accidents in this world. He has done it. He controls everything. At that moment, we have to be able to refocus on who he is and all of the good that he has done for us and all of the chesed that he does for the world. And his resume, please forgive me, has to speak for itself. I have done and I continue to do so much chesed in this world that you have to trust me. Even though you can't understand what I'm doing and why I'm doing it, but you have to trust me. I know what I'm doing. Now, to be able to achieve this state requires a number of steps. Even to be able to take a glimpse at it, even touch it, even imagine it, requires a number of steps. And allow me, please, to attempt to elaborate. Eoiv. There's a Sefer Eoiv. It's one of the Sifrei Tanakh, Ksuvim. It's the handbook of Tzoras. Eoiv suffered enormously. He was a very wealthy, very healthy man with 10 children. He lost his 10 children. He lost all his wealth. He lost his health. He was deathly ill. Couldn't comprehend what was going on. His friends came to be Menachem him. They sat for 7 days without speaking. Nobody could even open the conversation. Then they go on to attempt to analyze. What happened over here? Why? And after 38 prokim in Perek Lamed Ches, Hashem says to Eoiv, Vayomer Hashem el Eoiv, Eifoy ho yisa biyosti oretz. Where were you when I created the world? And the answer seems to be, you don't know everything that goes on. You don't know what happened from the beginning of time until now. You don't know the neshomas that come and go, that had to come back into this world, that had a mission to fulfill, that fulfilled their mission and then they moved on. You don't know anything about anything. Where were you when I created the world? Nothing. Much like the moshel they give, you know, there's a beautiful needle point. Upstairs, you see the most amazing picture. And on this side, all you see is the straggling threads that are hanging down. They once asked a Chassidish Rebbe, why? And he said, I don't ask Hashem why, because I'm afraid he'll tell me, you want to know why? Come on upstairs and I'll show you the beautiful needle point. I'm not quite ready to go yet. Here it looks like just disheveled threads. Hashem knows what it's all about. Hashem tells Eoiv, you weren't around, you don't know everything, you can't possibly understand. But I have a question. That's the answer. That's the right answer. That's the true answer. That's the only answer. Why didn't he answer to him immediately? He waited 38 prokim until they're agonizing and analyzing and back and forth on this. And finally Hashem says to him, Eifo yisi biyosti oretz. Not only that, the pasuk before, Rashi learns that Hashem says to him, hints to him, that he's going to be restored to his health, to his wealth, and to have 10 children again. And only then was he capable of hearing these words, Eifo hayisa biyosti oretz. And it seems that the lesson that we learn from here is, we will never understand everything Hashem does, but we have a need to analyze and to think and to try. And sometimes only when we have exhausted all of the possibilities, and after 38 prokim of not understanding anything and not being able to figure out an answer to any of our questions, why these things take place, only then are we ready. And we hear that it's going to be good. We hear that, then we may be ready to hear the answer that intellectually we can't understand. Questions are all emotional. It hurts. And when it hurts, we do have questions. And we have a right to ask questions. And we have a right to attempt to understand, to want to understand, to need to understand. But after everything is said and done, and we realize that it's beyond our comprehension, then we have to be willing to recognize that Hashem says, you couldn't possibly understand everything because you don't see the whole panorama. We don't see the whole picture. And this is the attitude that we have to have in life. One of the biggest tests in life is to go through life's difficulties, go through and experience life's disappointments, and not to let it interfere with our relationship with Hashem. Not to let it interfere with our ability to trust Hashem, to rely on Hashem, to know intellectually that everything He does is good, despite the fact that we can't fathom it for the life of us. Now, there are situations where many times we're zoiche in our lifetime to see the good, or see part of the good, or understand maybe a little, a snippet, a piece, an ounce, an inch of what's going on. And we're very fortunate if we see such situations. But ultimately, the biggest nisoyon is not to let it interfere with that relationship that we have with Hashem. We have to maintain that relationship. We have to focus on all the good that He does for us. We have to focus on the gift of life. We have to focus on every physical, emotional, and spiritual blessing that we have, whether it's family and children, whether it's our own health, whether it's parnoso, whether it's the pleasures of life, whatever it may be. Every gift that He gives us is all part of His chesed. He created this world only to do chesed, olam chesed yiboneh. And sometimes it's hard to see. And more than that, it's hard to feel. But that's our test. That's our challenge. And especially when times are difficult, if we can develop the ability to put our trust in Hashem, to focus on His good and not on the things that we don't understand, to focus on the obvious kindness that He has done for us. You know, we sort of take our lives for granted. How many of us sitting in this room are children or grandchildren of people who were only alive due to the greatest of miracles? Think about it for a moment. Think about it. Who doesn't know of such miracle people, of descendants of miracles, of people who by all right and by every token and by every logic of what was going on in the world, they should not have survived, and therefore we should not be here today. We're all here only by the greatest chesed Hashem, and all of us, each and every one of us, have in our background untold miracles that have allowed us to come to this day. And when we focus on that, that can inspire us. That can connect us to Hashem. That can give us the strength. That can help us to put aside for a moment the challenges and the difficulties, and to feel the kindness, to feel the goodness, to feel the chesed, to feel the rachamim. And that can help us to cope with the difficulties of life as we see them. There's an amazing comment that the Radak makes. The Novi says, Berega koton azavtich uverachamim gedolim akapzich. Hashem says, I have forsaken you for a mere moment, and with great mercy, I will gather you in. And the Radak is bothered by the question. He has forsaken us for a moment. The golus, the exile in which we find ourselves, is long and bitter. A rega koton? A short moment? A small moment? We're going on close to 2,000 years of exile. What are you talking about? And the Radak explains that when we see the kibbutz golyos, the ingathering of the exiles, and when we will see the rachmei d'shmaya, Hashem's mercy, Hashem's rachamim, that has the ability, in retrospect, to have us look back at the 2,000 years of golyos and say, oh, we had a minute or two that was really tough over there. It puts it in a perspective. It eases the pain. It reduces the overwhelming sadness into a shorter period of time, because look at all the good. Look at all the good. We have to be able to look at the positive in life. We have to be able to look at Hashem's chesed to each and every one of us. To us, to our parents, to our grandparents, to our children, to our grandchildren. And when we look at this, we have to see, this is Hashem's involvement in the world. This is Hashem's chesed. He has identified himself as Molei Chesed Verachamim, even though there are certain areas of life which remain questions, which remain difficult, which remain confused to understand. And the more we do that, the more we find the strength to be able to understand, or to be able at least to cope with the difficulties and challenges. And then we can begin to strengthen that bitochen in Hashem. When we can find the strength to focus on all of Hashem's kindness, and then to refuse to give up hope facing challenging situations. And we all have challenging situations in the present, not only in the past. We have issues of parnosa, we have issues of health, we have issues of children, we have issues of grandchildren. There's all kinds of things going on in any one group of Jewish or any people that sit together. The peklach tzoris anit shayich, it's onashir. But you know what they say about peklach tzoris. If we were to line up all the peklach on the wall and everybody would look inside and now be given free choice to choose which pekel you want. Yes, we'd all take our own. Yes, we have to look at the positive. We have to look at Hashem's chesed. We have to look at what He's done for us. We have to appreciate every gift. And in that appreciation, find the strength to reconnect, to connect, to deepen that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to hope for good, to hope for success, to hope for nachas, to hope for help, to hope for the future, to appreciate everything He does, His chesed. To be confused, yes, the confusion won't go away in what has to happen and what things happen and why things happen. But when we realize the Chesed Hashem, then we know we weren't around from the beginning. We don't know. We don't know which neshamas were supposed to come to this world for a short period of time. We don't know whose mission in this world was completed, and therefore they left the world because they finished their mission. We don't even know who is more influential in our lives from heaven than they are from down here in earth. We don't know. We don't know anything. We have a right to question. We have a right to think. We have a right to imagine. But after everything is said and done, we must restore and return that focus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And with that sense of connection to His chesed, and appreciating all of the good that He has done and continues to do, we will find the strength to connect with Him, to rely on Him, to be more assured of His chesed in the future. We'll face a brighter future, a future with greater blessing from HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of the fact that we put our trust in Him, and with a life of much greater and enhanced menuchas hanefesh, because somebody is in charge, somebody who loves, somebody who cares, somebody who controls, and somebody who does everything to help me, even though sometimes it's beyond my ability to understand what's going on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us all. That in these days of Elul and these days of Yomim Noroim, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that we should be able to find the strength to reconnect to Hashem. Hashem begs us to reconnect. Shuvu Elai or Shuvu Aleichem. I beg you. In fact, the famous Mamar Chazal that says, he says, Pischuli Pesach kechudei shel machat, v'ani eftach lochem Pesach kepischu shel ulam. Open up the door to me like the little eye of a needle, and I'll open up the floodgates for you. Is based on the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, where Hashem comes begging Klal Yisroel, Pischi li'achoisi, rayosi, yoinosi, samosi. He comes in the middle of the dew of the night and begs, please let me back in. HaKadosh Baruch Hu begs us, not that we have to open up a little bit for him and then he'll help us open the rest. I beg you, he says, I beg you, come back, return, come close to me, recognize my chesed, come close, feel that hiskarvus, feel that emuna, feel that bitochen, feel that hope. And I beg of you, that's what I need. When you come to me, I'm begging you, return to me, shuvu elai, v'ashuva aleichem. May we be zeiche in these coming days that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should assure, should guarantee, that all of us and all of Klal Yisrael should be zeiche to a life of fulfillment, a life of brios hanefesh, brios haguf, arichas yomim, hatzlocha, parnosa, nachas, ve'yemalei Hashem kol mishalos libeinu letoivot.